Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer, host of this podcast. My mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's show, you can show me some love back by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a rating and review where you're listening right now. I can serve more school leaders by having a better ranking, which is tied 100% to subscriptions, reviews, and shares on social media. In today's show, I talk with Sine Bell, and we explore a number of interesting topics like how to recalibrate when you drop a new but good habit, building high-performance teams, and how to engage in productive conflict via collective agreements. Something she said too, and this is a quote from Sine, I love it, be excellent on purpose. And I'll tell you what, can we help you do this? Can we help you be excellent on purpose through our leadership community called The Mastermind? For more information and to apply to join, check out betterleadersbetterschools.com/MM. Now, today's podcast upgrade is called The Power of DISC Profiles. So we go deep into building high-performing teams. One of those things is identifying people's strengths and understanding how they operate. So we talk a bit about DISC profiles. We only scratch the surface, and there's so much more in terms of leveraging the power of DISC profiles. So I've created for you an in-depth video that talks exactly everything you know. It lays it out in terms of DISC profiles. And so that's my free gift for you. You can download the Power of DISC Profiles video at betterleadersbetterschools.com/176-Sine-Bell or click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thank you so much for spending time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, let's take just a moment to thank the show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
My name is Jennifer Krong from the Assist Learning Podcast. I'm a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right. Well, hey there, better leaders. Today, I'm joined with a friend of mine, Dr. Sine Bell, who is the principal of Morton Ranch Junior High in Katy, Texas. She has served as an administrator since 2005 at both the elementary and secondary levels. Sine was recognized as the 2015 Katy ISD Elementary Principal of the Year. Prior to becoming an administrator, Sine taught middle school and high school English and also coached girls basketball. She earned her doctorate degree in ed leadership with an emphasis in curriculum and instruction from the University of Houston, Clear Lake, where she currently serves as an adjunct professor. Sine is passionate about authentic, purposeful learning for students and teachers, and also has a strong passion for leadership and its impact on teacher engagement, student learning, and school culture. Sine recognizes her impact as a leader and uses her role to inspire, motivate, and empower others. She's presented at local, state, national, and international conferences and has written publications and several guest blog posts focused on leadership and its impact on students and teachers. She shares her thoughts on leadership on her blog, SineBell.com, and via Twitter at SineBell. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danny. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
So when you were coaching basketball, did you do man-to-man or zone defense? I have to know. As a former basketball coach,
I'm strictly man-to-man because you have to work harder man-to-man. And a lot of times, though, it was the personnel that I had. And there was really only one year that we had to play zone defense because my team just they didn't have the skills. And so I wanted them to be successful. So I taught them a zone, but we still always relied on man-to-man. That's how I was operated as a player. And I work harder when you're playing man-to-man zone. Sometimes it gives you the opportunity to rest and you lose focus.
Right. And if you're playing man-to-man defense and you're no good, it's gonna come out.
So, you will get exposed. Yes. Yeah. And after a few games of exposure, I was like, I'm going to have to make some adjustments to what we're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you can hide in a zone. And I'm not going to stay. This is not a basketball podcast, but I coached basketball forever and loved it. It's my number one sport. So I had to ask real quick.
Absolutely. In fact, I still coach. I coach my daughter's team, and we do not do zone. We get after it, man-to-man, nine-year-olds.
full court press?
Full court. Man. Absolutely.
Relentless. Unbelievable. All right. Well, Sinead, tell me about your perfect day at work.
Well, Danny, funny that you ask. I would say that a perfect day is a day that starts with me being very mindful of myself. I start the morning, I try to work out, I do a little meditation to get my mind right, and then I go into work and I see what I'm going to tackle for that day. And when I'm able to tackle my agenda, in addition to help other people solve some of their issues or problems, when I can spend time in the classroom with kiddos and just really be visible and present and take the moment to build relationships, that makes a perfect day. And I have more of those than I do not so perfect, because I'm really intentional about making sure that that's what I take care of on a day-to-day basis. So as a leader, when things come up unexpectedly, it kind of can derail that perfect day. But when things go as smoothly as planned, and it's all about the relationships and getting in there with kids and teachers, it makes for a fantastic day.
I'm curious too, with the intentionality, you know, focused on relationship building and doing the things that you deem as the most important work at your school. Is that something that you just naturally have the rhythm for? Are you blocking out time on your calendar? I'm curious about how you approach the organization of your day, and so that you can, I guess, honor those intentions and those things you want to accomplish.
So my secretary and I, we spend every morning together before the day gets going, and we look through my calendar. So we have calendar meetings and we plan everything. She has my lunch on there, my arrival time and my departure time. And so everything is planned out so that I'm not just wandering the building without addressing the main work. So my morning roundup with my A team, I walk the building, I do announcements, and then I kind of take a spin around to just check in with everyone. And then I come back, and whatever task I have to do for that day, it's on my calendar. It's scheduled out. Meetings are scheduled. There's nothing that's just left up to chance. And that really being really purposeful with my time has really helped me to maximize the time that I have in the school day. And so then I'm able to really, really be intentional about how I'm spending that time, whether it's in the classroom with students or supporting a teacher or reading for my personal growth, professional growth. It's mapped out each day, and we review that calendar every day. And then we get ready for the next day and we kind of look ahead and make sure all the time that's needed to complete different projects has been allocated on my calendar.
How long have you been working with this assistant?
We've been together now for 10 years. So quite some time. Although we didn't start working this way for, it's been about 2 years. We went to a training and we started working this way. And so I just felt that there was a point in my journey that it was just so much coming and everything was due at the same time. And I wasn't able to get everything done in the manner in which I wanted to. And it was becoming frustrating for me and somewhat overwhelming. So we went to a training to figure out how to maximize the time that we have in the day so that everything gets done at work, but then also so that I'm not working all hours into the evening and neglecting my family and my personal wellness because all I was doing was working.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you went to a training. Do you remember the name of it?
Yes, it was called the Breakthrough Coach.
The Breakthrough Coach.
It's an international training. It's not local. So it travels all over the United States and in other countries, I believe. And it was pretty, I went and then my assistant went with me as well. It was a 2-day training.
Gotcha. And what I'm gathering is it really gave you a framework of how to work together well as a team to sort of maximize your impact on the building and your leadership.
Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, it's about student achievement increasing. And the only way that was going to improve is if I was visible and able to be out and observing what was happening and giving feedback. So I always tell people, you know, you can't principal from the office. That's not where the work is. The work is out in the building. It's kind of like coaching from the locker room. You can't coach your team if you're not watching the game, if you're not out there seeing where the action is. And so, you know, there are things that necessarily that I have to definitely stay in the office and complete. But for the most part, a lot of the work, the majority of the work is out in the building.
Yeah, I so appreciate you sharing that. You know, I think the theme comes out quite a bit in the podcast, principals that have different mobile offices and that kind of thing. But just that quote that you just shared, you can't principal from the office. And then, you know, your metaphor for the coaching as well, it's you got to be there, right? On the court with your players, showing them where this is where the full court press starts. Okay. You start
absolutely
here.
Yeah.
And
right.
you don't stop from end to end of the court. Cool. Yeah. I was just really curious. And let me ask one more question here before we move on from the topic. But so you've been doing this for about 2 years is what I heard. How long do you think it took before you and your assistant really got in a good rhythm and were maximizing this time and how you're working together?
So when we first started, we were gung-ho and we were on it. But then it's so easy to revert back to old habits. And especially when the pressure's on or when there's a deadline or when I just didn't really want to do what was on my calendar. And I'm like, I can wait for that later. And so when we started, we were great. And then we fell off a little bit. And then I realized, I said, we have got to work the system 100% with fidelity in order for it to work. And so we recalibrated, and I would say, I mean, it probably took us probably most of the school year to really get it going. There were great benefits when we did it partially. And I said, you know what, if I'm feeling like this and we haven't done it 100% with fidelity, just imagine what will happen when we do it all the way that it's designed to do. And so it took some time because we're breaking habits. I mean, this is my 14th year in campus administration, 8th year as a principal. And so that's a lot of habits to break when it comes to work productivity. But I was so important to me to want to be more productive at work and more productive with my time that I said, we got to make the adjustment and make it work.
Gotcha. And was that the recalibration point when you just realized, hey, we're not doing this with fidelity or consistently, and we're still seeing an impact. So let's get back to doing it 100%.
Absolutely. That and if it weren't for, if we didn't even have, I think we were probably doing about 65%. If we were not doing it 65% of the time, the way that we were, it would have been a really tumultuous school year because there were a lot of changes that were going on. And so since I had planned things out and we were purposeful with time, I was able to take care of things that probably before we would have went to this system that would have been maybe scheduled later or not as planned out as they were. And so with that, I realized like this is the way to go and we just really have to stick to it.
Love it. Thank you for sharing all that and going in depth with me there. I know during the pre-chat, we mentioned your passion for building high-performance teams. So let's hear, what does it take to do that?
So much of what I am and who I am as a leader derive from my coaching philosophy and the aspect of team. You know, coaching basketball, you have individual players that have great strengths, but it doesn't matter. You can have a superstar and you guys still can't get the job done because you're not working together as a team. And so for me, really recognizing the individual strengths that each member of the team has and how do I capitalize on that really helps me as a leader to, number one, execute my vision because I'm able to tap onto different individuals for the strengths that they have. And it really pulls everyone into what we're doing as a team because they feel valued and they feel that they're contributing because I'm honoring their strengths and their passions. And I'm using that to help us achieve our goal together as a team.
And is there a practice, a question, a tool, something that you use to help hone in and identify those individual strengths?
There are a couple things that I've used in the past. I've used Compass Points activity. It's from the National School Reform Faculty. I've done critical friends training, and there are a lot of different personality or work type questionnaires or protocols that you can use. And I've used the compass points where it determines if you're north, south, east, west. And we look and we complete the questionnaire, and then we look to see how we laid out as a team, you know, how many north, south, east, west, and the strengths that each individual brings to the table. And then also, what is it about this particular direction that frustrates you? Or what is it about this direction that we need? And we have those conversations about that. I've done the Strengths Finder before, and I really like that because it really gives you a really in-depth look into each individual. And then I've done the DISC personality assessment as well. And so I did that with my entire staff. And that was really eye-opening because we got to see, number one, how people best work, but then also some of their values. And when we process those different activities as a team, it helps to frame our work together. So when things come up, it's not, oh my goodness, this is Danny just being Danny. He's so difficult. He's so difficult, you know? Instead, it becomes, you know, Danny is a high I, and he works best in situations like this.
I am a high I.
Are you? I didn't even know that.
Totally am. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So that reframes our conversations on our campus. So it's not personal. It's just, this is how I best work, and let me value that in each individual.
Exactly. Yeah. It really starts to explain others. I've done the Compass Points activity. I've never facilitated it, and I've only participated once, so I can't speak too well about it, but I remember it was enjoyable. Strength Finders, I love that book. I engaged in it a while ago. I used it a bit with my team last year, just to map out where does all the leadership team and then the main office staff, what are their strengths? Because maybe they're in roles where they're not being used to their fullest potential, and they have longings in their heart that if I just said, hey, would you like to do this? They would eat it up, even if it meant more time at work. And then the DISC stuff, everybody that joins the leadership community, the mastermind, they all get a DISC report. I use that with my business clients too, because it is so thorough. And to your last point, understanding what's motivating the different individuals. And what I find most helpful is it helps you understand how to communicate, right? Mm-hmm, because right. We, you know, you talk how you like to talk, right? I talk how I like to talk in my style, but that might not be how that other person receives it. So for mm-hmm. a very quick example, Aaron Walker, my mentor, right? He's a high D. And when he sends me an email, you know, it's like one, maybe two sentences if he's feeling like Hemingway, okay? And when I respond to him, I know I can't respond in numerous paragraphs. That's not his style. That's not how he wants to communicate. The other thing that's really, really interesting is that as leaders, I think it's 14% of people are D's and I's. And then the rest, 86%, are S's and C's. And that's really important to understand because it has to do with how people relate to each other, how they communicate. D's and I's tend to be leaders. And the way they think and the way they approach problems, all that stuff is different than how their actual staff that's implementing the vision thinks about challenges and communicates. So you need to understand how will they perceive this? Because if you just share it from your high D or your high I leadership lens, it's not going to land as powerfully as it could if you understood your people.
You know, funny story, this is very similar. And what I have found is that a lot of the different personality or workplace assessments, they cross over. You're pretty much, this here, then you're, you know, this in this particular assessment. When we did the Compass Points assessment, my first principalship, I did it, I think, maybe year three, perhaps. And I, at that time, and I have changed, I have evolved over the years, but the majority of my staff, they were West. And the West folks really like detail. They have a lot of questions. They can't move beyond point A, they need 1.2, 1.3A, like they can't go with the big vision. They just need to know all the details. And at that particular time when I did the assessment, I was a North, which the North were, let's just do it. Let's go. Let's get after it. Let's just jump in. When I did that assessment, I would say probably about 85% of my staff at that time, they were West. And then it was a handful of us who were North. And I said, this makes sense because they had so many questions about everything. And it would be frustrating because I'm like, don't worry about the logistics right now. Just kind of listen. Here's the big idea. And this is what I see. We'll work out the details later. And when I saw that, I actually changed my leadership approach because when they would come back to school, I was the type of teacher, you know, you can give me the logistics, the nuts and bolts type things, the schedules and all of that, like the day before school, because it really didn't matter. It is what it is. But they needed that stuff day one in order to be able to focus. And so I used to do it later, but then I had to switch because I needed to make sure that I was meeting their needs so that they would be glued in and in tune to what needed the real work, in my opinion, what we really needed to accomplish. So doing that, I've changed my approach depending on the setting that I'm in and the personalities that I'm working with so that everybody is feels like their needs are being met and people aren't being frustrated for reasons that really could be controlled if it's just a matter of changing how I do something in order to make sure that I'm maximizing and meeting the needs of each individual of the team.
Or we could just change all those darn Wests into North.
I mean, hey, let me tell you, I need a West in my life. My assistant is a West. I'm an East now. I've transitioned from West to East. And so I think that has evolved with over time in the position. But sure. I don't know if you can change those West folks. Like, we need the West people. We really need the West people.
We do. And speaking of needing people, we brought an awesome group together. You and Jeff Zoll assembled this Avengers-like team. And we collaborated and created a book called Ed Right Now, Volume 2. And yeah, can you just explain a bit about, I guess, assembling the team and the point of the book and anything you want to share from that experience working together?
Well, number one, it was a fantastic experience. This is my second year working on the project. And after the first year, I was like, this is amazing. It doesn't get any better than this. But I have to say, the second year was just as awesome.
It was better. It's okay.
Okay. Don't get me in trouble with my first round.
Yeah, everybody listening to the podcast, Danny said that. Ed Right Now, Volume 2, way better than Volume 1. And it's going to be better. I already know this. I can see the future. Better than 3, 4, and 5, whatever comes. Now, you should buy them all, but Volume 2 was the best.
Volume 2 is where it's at. Well, it's kind of like, you know, everything gets better with age. So, but we met together in Chicago this summer, and it's a 72-hour project, and it is a cold write. So basically, you may come with some of an idea of what you may want to write about, but it's not until we all get in the room and throw out topics to see if, okay, yes, I can own this topic. And so I do love that challenge in it because you're writing just based on, hey, I'm passionate about this topic. And then you have basically 2.5, 3 days to crank it out. 5,000 words, which is about a chapter. And each individual chapter, it's a different topic, but they tie together so nicely. And so just the cognitive thought process, the discourse that comes with that, and then to see how the theme is threaded through each individual chapter, because we do always try to wrap a theme around it, which is not really developed until after we listen to each chapter being read. But it's amazing how it all comes together, and we're just so different in what we do. You know, there are teachers, there are leaders, there are central office, there are consultants. It's different, but we can all talk about education from a perspective of growth. And the proceeds from the book go to Live to Will Foundation. And it is a foundation that is dedicated to awareness of teen suicide. And it's just an amazing project to work on in just building relationship with other people that I may not have actually had the privilege to work with before.
Yeah, that's great. And listeners, we'll have Ed Right Now, Volume 1, which is the B plus version, Volume 2, the A plus. Both of those will be linked up for you in the show notes. Live the Will Foundation will be linked up for you in the show notes as well. And let's pause here just for a moment for a message from our sponsors. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. All right, and we're back with Dr. Snae Bell, and we've been talking about how Ed Right Now, Volume 2 is better than Volume 1, but those were my words, not hers. and I'd like to dig into a bit with the content that you wrote about, because it's really important. I think it connects back to what we were talking about, building high-performing teams. But if I remember correctly, you wrote about productive conflict in this volume.
That's correct. And at the time when we got together, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to focus on. I think in the first edition, I talked about teacher engagement. But this one was pretty personal for me, productive conflict, because I feel that a lot of our challenges in education could be solved if we spent the time engaging in productive conflict. And, you know, when you hear the word conflict, people automatically, you know, hold up a hand and, you know, I don't want to engage in that. I can't tell you how many times teachers have been in my office and they're like, I'm not confrontational. I don't like conflict. But when you preface conflict with productive, I think it changes the conversation. So no, I don't think most people wake up in the morning and say, I really want to engage in conflict today. I can't wait to go to battle with someone. I mean, if you do, I don't, there's a whole nother podcast, I think.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. But you know, in order to get the best ideas out there on the table, we have to be willing to engage in productive conflict. And that means sharing ideas, challenging each other's ideas so that the best one from the entire group can be shared and we can move forward with that idea.
Is there any sort of protocol, or is that already norms that you've set up that we're going to get all the ideas, we're not going to evaluate them right away, and then we're going to start talking about the strengths, the merits, and you know, arrive at the best decision that way? Or how do you get your team to do that?
So part of our work together, before we even get into the day-to-day, the core work, we set collective agreements. So, you know, you have norms, and norms are just the set of beliefs or how you are going to work together. We use collective agreements because we build those collectively together. And this is how we agree to do our best work. And so there are some things that are just that I just have to make a decision on, you know, like this is how we're going to do that. And that's the way we're going to roll. Those are usually things that are technical, just nothing that's going to harm anyone. Nothing that this change is going to just shake somebody's world. It's just a technical change. It's just something that we have to do. We can move forward. But when we get into some of the adaptive challenges and adaptive changes in leadership, you know, adaptive means people have to actually change something that they do. And it may be not just changing something that they do, but it may be a fundamental belief or practice. And so when it comes to things that are going to cause major changes in either the work that we're doing or our behaviors, then we get into that productive conflict piece, because conflict's going to come one way or the other. If I say, hey, we're going to do this and everyone's got to change, I'm going to get some conflict. There's going to be conflict with the idea or conflict with who's implementing the idea. But if I say, here is the why, this is where we are, and this is what we need to do, then let's get the best ideas on the table to help us achieve that goal. And it changes that conflict into productive conflict. It doesn't minimize the feelings that may come along with it. It reframes it in a way that's productive and that will yield an outcome, a result, as opposed to negative. And it just yields negative feelings, emotions, and there's nothing that gets done with the change.
Hmm. You know, and even something as simple as naming it productive conflict seems very like growth mindset-ish to me in the sense that, like you said, conflict just by itself sort of carries this weight in this negative connotation. But you just put that one word productive in front of it and it's like, oh, yeah, I would like some productive conflict today. I've been searching all over for that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it just reframes it. And I think it also, in order to get to that point, you got to be able to be vulnerable with the people that you're working with. Mm. And so you can't, I absolutely love Brené Brown. And she talks about you can't have courage and comfort. You have to choose. And so if we're trying to get better as individuals, or if we're trying to get better as an organization, we can't remain comfortable with what we're doing. And we've always done it this way. At some point, we're not going to be making progress anymore. And so if we know that we need to change, well, then what do we need to do about that? And we need to engage in conversation. And that may be hard for some people because change is not an easy thing. And you talked about in the DISC assessment, you have 14% of the people are, you know, let's get after it leaders and go getters, but 86% fall into the other categories. And one of those categories deals with, they are slow to change and they're a little bit uneasy about that. And the majority of educators fall into that realm. And so we just can't go around just changing a bunch of stuff without really thinking about, you know, being intentional and purposeful in our conversations and how we address the conflict that comes with that.
Yeah, that's beautifully put. I really appreciate that. I have two questions before we sign off. The first one's much easier than the second. What message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just one day?
So this is my personal motto, and I brought this with me when I started my second principalship, and it is now our school motto, and it is be excellent on purpose. And I would say what that means and why it's important is if we are individually seeking out excellence, which means each day we're trying to be a better version of ourselves, and each year I shouldn't be the same leader as I was the previous year. I should be growing, which means I'm intentional about getting better and improving. And I say that to my students as well. You should be purposeful and intentional about what you're doing, having a plan and working your plan and making changes along the way. I think that right there, if everyone was being excellent on purpose, man, we would really transform not just education, but we would transform our world.
Yeah, you're right about that. And here's the last question, Snay. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school and what would be your top three priorities?
Oh, that's a fun question. That's a hard question. I would say, number one, my dream school would have exceptional, dedicated professionals. I don't care what type of technology you put in a building, the infrastructure, the architecture, you know, glass ceilings from our glass windows, walls from floor to ceiling. I don't care what you have. If you don't have people who are working within their passion and they're in the right place or the right seat on the bus, it doesn't matter how beautiful the school may be. So I think that's critical. Number one, just people who are really dedicated to self-improvement and then helping children become the best that they can possibly be. Secondly, I think it would be access to the global world, because so much of what we teach kids really in day-to-day school has nothing to do with what they're going to be able to do or be asked to do when they leave us. So access and whatever way, I'm not sure, travel or remote access or connections with other places is second, I think is really important. And then a place where the community can come in and be involved in what we're doing in our school, because the school serves the community. And if we're not giving back and contributing to the community, then we're going about our business the wrong way.
Snay, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice? And what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I will say that at this time of the year, this is a time where we're rejuvenating, relaxing, reflecting, looking back on what has worked well thus far in the school year. And I think it's really important to spend some time reflecting and being self-aware of our feelings, our emotions, and take the time to get in check with ourselves, but also get in check with our families as we get rejuvenated for the second half of the school year. So that would be what's most important. Take some downtime to really figure out who you are, what you've accomplished, and what do you need to do in order to stay motivated for the next half of the school year. And you're able to get in touch with me via Twitter at Sine Bell. I'm also on Voxer at Sine Bell. And then follow my blog, sinebell.com.
Well, you got it. And we'll link all those connections up for the listeners in the show notes. And Sine, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, Danny.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof. It encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.